Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio. With us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Children's Literature Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, you know, a lot of people write kids' books, and I guess they have editors at all these publishing houses, and they have to, like, read these books and decide whether or not they get published, right? That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And we happen to have here an insider list from one of the major kids' books publishers of books that they received that they didn't print.
For one reason or another. And it's up to you, our listeners.
The title may
give it away.
It all. Yeah. Here are a few. The Little Boy Who Died from Eating All His Vegetables. The Kid's Guide to Hitchhiking. The Little Sissy Who Snitched. Here's one of my favorites. Grandpa Gets a Casket. Here's another big one. Strangers Have the Best Candy. And the last one is Pop Goes the Hamster and Other Great Microwave Games. Now, why wouldn't you publish stuff like this? Kids would love to.
Exactly. Well, no willingness to take a chance is what it shows us.
You know, every time I'm in the company of little kids, I always give them bad advice, like, don't ever do anything your mother tells you.
Of course.
And the mothers love that kind of insider kind of stuff. They hate me. My own daughter hates me.
Oh, yeah, no, you have set back child rearing at least 100 years. Well, look, if you don't want child rearing advice from us, we'll give you some car advice. If you want, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
Oh, here's another one I missed. That's it. I'm putting you up for adoption.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Tina, and I'm calling from Long Beach, California.
Hi, Tina.
How nice for you.
Now, Tina sounds like she's going to be an easy caller. She's going to go right along with it.
She's going to go along with it. And she's going to have a simple question. It's going to have to do with her husband, and will be done in a minute.
You know, I don't have a husband, so I can't ask you
there
about
that. There
you go. I don't even have a boyfriend I can complain about.
You don't. What a sweet person you are.
All right, well, go.
You certainly sound like a sweet person.
Well, thank you.
Are you a school teacher?
You know, I'm a piano teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have that.
You have that teacher quality about you.
That patient,
oh, thank
that
you.
Patient sound in your voice. And we'll see if we can try your patience in the next few minutes.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the question?
I've got a 1997 Honda Civic DX. It's got a manual transmission. And in February, I drove up to Big Bear Mountain, and this mountain is really, really high. And then I drove back down, and I did something really dumb, which is that I left the car in neutral on my way down.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Because I wasn't thinking.
That must have been scary.
Well, you know, there was this yucky burning smell when I got down to the bottom.
Oh?
Which sort of clued me in that I had done something wrong.
Oh, so you were just doing this in the spirit of conserving gasoline or something.
No, I didn't do it. I just wasn't thinking.
Was accidentally in neutral. And you didn't notice that you were flying down that mountain?
Well, she didn't notice because she had her foot on the brake the whole time.
Yeah, and you were frying all the brake pads and the brake shoes.
So then for weeks, my brakes made this yucky grinding sound, and I brought them into my mechanic, and he said that I had glazed the brakes.
Yes, you did.
So, but here's the thing. I was talking to my friend last week, telling him the story of my stupidity and what it did to my brakes, and he said, actually, it's better to do that because it is better to do damage to your brakes than to leave it in first, because he said when you're going down a steep grade and you leave your car in first, it taxes the engine.
Don't speak to this person ever again. Whoever this friend of yours is, don't ever listen to him again.
Okay.
Especially if he wants to give you, like, medical advice.
Yeah, don't ever.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about that thing growing on the side of your head. It'll probably just fall off.
No, he's absolutely wrong.
In fact, he couldn't be more wrong.
Couldn't be more wrong. It's absolutely the worst possible thing you can do because you're destroying stuff. You could have lost your brakes completely. It could have killed you.
Yeah, you're not taxing the engine. It sounds awful, I should add, if you're in first gear or second gear coming down a steep hill.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds because the engine is screaming.
Yeah.
But that's okay because it's as long as it's not going so fast that it's redlining the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there aren't any hills anywhere that, you know, are steep enough to really do that.
Okay.
And you would use the brakes intermittently.
Mm-hmm.
But you would rely mostly on the inertia of the engine.
Yeah.
To keep the car's speed reasonable.
Yeah.
But you never want to ride the brakes all the way down. I mean, you were very lucky that all you did was glaze them.
Yeah.
The danger is that they get so hot that the brake fluid boils, and then you have no brakes.
Yeah, that would be very bad.
So your friend gave you, and you got to correct him or her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that friend gave you exactly the wrong advice. You should do exactly the opposite of what he said. I'm going to assume it was a he.
It was a he.
Of course.
It's always a he. They know everything, you know?
Yeah.
See you, Tina.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Male answer syndrome.
Yeah, well, we give wrong answers out all the time, too. So
yeah, but we get paid for it.
There you go.
No one was...
We're professionals.
We're professionals. This guy is just a rank amateur.
A rank amateur.
Rank
exactly.
Amateur.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jerry from Estes Park, Colorado.
Hi, Jerry with a G?
J.
With a J.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've got a 91 Pontiac Sunbird convertible.
Really?
My problem is putting the convertible top up and down. It seems that over a period of time, the motor has decided to sort of give up. And I've had to resort to a bit of a ballet to get the top up and down.
I know it well.
Yeah. At first, the motor, it worked fine. Then it got to the point where I had to tap on the motor. This motor is buried back inside the trunk.
Right.
And had a tap on it, and it would start running.
Oh.
Then it got to the point where we had to hold the button to raise the top and tap on the motor at the same time. So what I've been doing by myself is jamming a stick into one of the seats and having the other end hold the button down. then I run around to the back, tap on the motor with a stick, and I keep tapping on it.
Until it starts moving.
Until it starts running.
Yeah.
Then once it starts running, I run around to the side of the car, grab hold of the front edge of the top.
And help it up.
And help it, yes. I help it come back.
Yeah.
And then when it's all the way down, I can remove the stick that holds the button. So my question is, I don't know if this little motor is, if the whole thing is electric or whether it's electric running some hydraulic lines.
Yes.
It is.
The latter.
Okay.
Most of them are an electric motor, which is running a hydraulic pump.
Okay.
And everything operates with hydraulics.
I believe the trouble is in the electric motor.
Yeah, because if you can bang on the motor and it works, then...
Yeah, I think my brother's going to go out on a limb here and suggest that maybe the motor's no good.
Maybe the motor is no good. No, I'm just struck by the... I mean, it would seem that the obvious thing to do is replace the motor.
But yet
you have gone to these outrageous lengths to avoid doing that.
I had to do something so I could talk to you guys.
Yeah.
So how long have you been waiting to talk to us, Jerry?
It's been a while. So the question is this. Do you know if the hydraulic portion and the electric motor are one assembly, or is it possible to replace the motor, the electrical part only?
I would guess it's one piece, because it's not really a motor, it's a pump.
So the second question would be, would it be advisable to have the motor fixed, or just to buy another one?
I would buy one.
I would go to a junkyard.
Ah.
And find one whose top goes up and down.
Is this something that you would advise I have somebody replace as opposed to me trying
Absolutely
to get
it? Absolutely not. This is a job that's within your grasp, so to speak.
Now,
I think you should be able to replace just the motor. I mean, if you have to hit the motor to get it to run, it's likely that the motor is faulty. It probably has a bad brush or a bad commutator. And when you go to the junkyard, you'll see, or maybe you can crawl in your trunk and see how it goes together. Or better still, you could consult the repair manual.
Yeah.
Ah.
Ah.
I once had a 74 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the top didn't work. But you could. This wasn't easy because the top was huge and heavy. And you could hear everything happening, but it just didn't have the oomph.
That's right.
To make it go all the way up. So I devised, I had a hook that I hooked into the frame of the top. So the top is down, right? And it's down in the well there. And I put a hook there with a rope attached to it. So then I could stand up in the front seat and I could push the button with my foot and balance now, myself with my knee against the seat and pull on the rope, because you have to pull like straight up, so you couldn't do it sitting down.
Jerry, and you want our advice on what's wrong with this?
Well, I'll look into one of these salvage yards, see if I can find a convertible top that goes up and down, and see what I can do for the motor.
In the meantime, you may come to the same conclusion that I did, which was, having the top up was not all it was cracked up to be, and I finally just decided to leave the top down.
I've got a nice full car cover.
Yeah,
I can throw them there overnight.
There you go.
I had the added advantage that I had huge holes in the floor, so that if it rained, the rain went right out. It was automatic drainage.
You're my kind of guy.
Hey, good luck, Jerry.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Well, we were a lot of help.
But it's interesting. I mean, people have brand-new cars, and they're so worried about them. If you have a heap, there's a lot to be said for the freedom that you have.
Exactly my position. I've never felt so liberated as the first accident that I had with my Colt Vista.
Exactly. And you said, that's it. I remember I had this car when I was working on my doctoral dissertation. So I would work many, many hours.
You couldn't have
into
had
the
this
night.
Car that long.
I didn't have it that long during part of my doctoral dissertation. And I remember I used to be in my office typing away, working like mad. And the guy who worked on the custodian of the building used to run in and tell me, Tom, it's raining. Your top is down. And I'd say, yeah. He couldn't understand that.
Yeah, well,
he didn't have the freedom that I had.
Yeah, well, neither could we.
I knew I had a heap.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Klaus calling from Willimantic, Connecticut.
Hey, Klaus, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I didn't know there was a Willimantic. I always thought it was just a sign.
No. It's a town with a cute sort of ghost towny main street. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, what was it famous for?
Oh, it was famous for the American Thread Company that used to have its headquarters there, but they moved to some cheap labor country, and so
yeah.
Now it's not famous anymore.
Vermont. Anyway, Klaus, what's going on?
I have a '94 Saturn, and it's making a worrying sound. So when I go around corners, when I make left turns, there's a sound coming from the right front wheel area, and it's sort of this vibration, this grumbling sound. It goes
yeah,
and it only happens when I go around left turns, and it varies with the speed. So if I'm going slowly or if the turn isn't very sharp, there's no sound.
Why aren't all the questions like this?
Yeah, this is a this is a classic case of a bad constant velocity joint.
Oh, it's just a CV joint.
CV joint. The thing you just had replaced. No, you didn't, did you? No.
But you need one replaced. In fact, it's generally cheaper nowadays to replace the entire axle.
Uh-huh.
And what's wrong is the outer joint, which takes the abuse, is the one that's worn out.
Oh, I see.
I mean, this is one of the big disadvantages of front-wheel drive cars, because that thing has to go, it's got to move up and down, because when you hit bumps, the wheel moves up and down.
Right.
It's got to turn left and right, and it's got to rotate at the same time. So it's a very complicated little piece of iron.
But, well, I'm working on an invention, a new constant velocity joint. I can't divulge anything. I hear you laughing, Klaus, but I'm working... I'm working on a fluid coupling constant velocity joint.
You gave it away.
No, but I mean, I'm sure it's been thought of before.
Are rubber bands involved?
Oh, son of a...
there goes that great idea.
I figured how to execute it was the mystery, but I uncovered that. Well, anyway, Klaus, That's what you need.
A few hundred bucks will do it.
Okay.
Like five.
Can I do that myself? You know, I'm writing on my PhD thesis right now.
Oh, so you are?
Sure.
Yeah. You have a convertible?
No. No, it's not a convertible.
Saturn
well, you can do it yourself, but it does require that you remove the axle from the steering knuckle, and it's going to probably take some tools that you don't have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
a lot of pieces to take off.
Yeah, and then there's a matter of putting the axle into the transmission, which is a little tricky. And if you do it wrong, I would have it done by somebody.
Oh, okay.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll, of course, answer last week's puzzler, which was the final puzzler of this puzzler season.
I don't remember it. Was it historic?
Not really.
Was it folkloric?
Maybe a little.
Well, how would you describe it?
How about paragraphic?
Is that like paragoric?
Well, same effect, kind of. Anyway, we'll have the answer and more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
Lord, I love my El Camino, the one I used to drive back in high school. Well, I never did get to take it far, but it hauled like a truck and it drove like a car. I'm here to tell you, buddy, it was cool. Then I fell in love with my Ranchero, 20 paces long, cornered like wood, built for comfort, speed, and fun, with a Harley Ford Bell 351, Cleveland, under the hood. Should've seen me go for my Caballero, GMC was doing mighty fine, it reversed doing 55, and the transmission barely made it out alive, but we're still out of driving in half the time.
Even though the RCA dog puts his paws over his ears and howls whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a prison warden and need to send inmates running back to their cells.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler, which was from my English department series.
You don't say.
I do, actually. This was sent in by Wes Daniels, and I'm going to read you a paragraph, and your job is to figure out what's unique about it, okay?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
Here it is. This is an unusual paragraph. I'm curious as to just how quickly you can find out what is so unusual about it. It looks so ordinary and plain that you would think nothing was wrong with it. In fact, nothing is wrong with it. It is highly unusual, though. Study it and think about it, but you still may not find anything odd. But if you work at it a bit, you might find out. Try to do so without any coaching.
Well, I can tell you one thing about it.
What's that?
It's horribly repetitive.
It is, in fact. I'll read it for you one more time.
No.
Now I'm going to read it one more time.
All right, go ahead. All right.
This is an unusual paragraph. I'm curious as to just how quickly you can find out what is so unusual about it. It looks so ordinary and plain that you would think nothing was wrong with it. In fact, nothing is wrong with it. It is highly unusual, though. Study it and think about it, but you still may not find anything odd. But if you work at it a bit, you might find out. Try to do so without any coaching.
Okay, I give up.
I knew you would.
Well, I do.
Well, there's something missing from this paragraph.
Is there? Are you?
I'm telling you, there is something missing. I'll ask you, is there something missing?
I don't know. I don't see anything missing.
It would be almost impossible to write a paragraph or read a paragraph that doesn't contain the letter E, which is, I believe, the most commonly used letter in the English language. And yet this paragraph,
has no E's
in it? As repetitive as it is, does not contain one single E.
Well, if you said repetitive, it would be there's
that isn't part of the paragraph. So do we have a winner?
No E's.
No E's. Do we have a winner?
We sure do. Our winner this week is Dave Jenkins from Naperville, Illinois. And for having his correct answer selected at random, Dave is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get one of our high-octane drip kits.
Yeah, that's a CarTalk travel mug and a half pound of gourmet coffee. Leaded, for those of you who like to stay awake, and unleaded for people like my brother.
No, I drink the leaded stuff. It just doesn't work anymore.
Sorry to hear that. Anyway, if you have a question about your car, we'll try to help. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jessica from Portland, Oregon.
Jessica.
Hello.
That's not a name you hear very often.
Really?
Well, it was popular.
I like it. It's a very nice name.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
I like it. Did you know that Portland, Oregon was almost called Boston, Oregon?
No. I didn't know that. And I'm not sure if I believe it either. But.
Well, I have to say it every time someone from Portland calls.
Oh,
I'm just trying to get some corroboration for the strange story that someone told me.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Jessica. Tell us your problem.
I have a 1996 Volkswagen Jetta, the Trek version. And I'm sure you're aware that when you turn off a Volkswagen, the engine the fan will still run after the engine.
It can, yes. Yep.
And it used to be... sort of a fine-tuned, sort of a note on maybe a harp or something, just of a hum, and then it would turn off. But for the past maybe 6 months or so, this problem has gotten worse, so that it's no longer the nice humming sound. It's sort of
it's a roar.
Or like a dying animal, like a rat having a seizure, kind of a chug, and it rattles off to then a silence. And so I'm just kind of curious. Is that the fan? How much might this cost?
Yeah, make the noise, because we're not sure we have... I mean, your description was very good, but we'd rather have you embarrass yourself.
It's like and then it kind of idles off into a...
At that rate?
Yeah.
But when you first shut off the engine...
Yes.
What do you hear? Not that sound. It can't be that sound.
It's just loud and clunky, kind of not the hum. It's more like
And then it ends up with that.
Yeah, then it ends with the chirp thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, unfortunately, you're going to have to spring for a new cooling fan.
Cooling fan?
Fan motor. And maybe the fan blade, it could be, if you're lucky.
It sounds to me like the fan blade is hitting the shroud.
Uh-huh.
How long ago was the accident?
Was there one?
No, there was not an accident.
There was not an accident.
You need one then.
I mean, it could be something as simple as that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that there's a piece of the fan broken off.
Okay.
The shroud has come loose and the fan is hitting the shroud.
Okay.
It could be the fan blade is coming loose from the motor.
Okay.
But I believe the most likely thing is that the motor is gone or going.
Okay.
And you need to replace that. Now, you got a lot of choices here. You can buy an aftermarket one.
Uh-huh.
You can go to Volkswagen and get the real McCoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and...
You can go to a junkyard and buy one.
Okay.
Or you can steal one.
Okay, right. That's probably what I'll
do. Find another 96 Jetta. Probably any Jetta will work. I mean, they may have not have changed this for 10 years.
Oh, they change them all the time.
I guess people stealing them like crazy.
Yeah. So you need... But, you can get out of this probably if you went to a junkyard. You could probably get out of this for less than $100, even including the labor to install it.
Okay. So if I were to go to the dealer, how much do you think it might cost?
It depends on whether or not you left it there. If you leave it there, they might find other things that are wrong.
I mean, it's not a terribly... I mean, it's a little... I mean, if it weren't attached to a car, you would be able to buy this little fan.
For $19.95.
Exactly. $19.95 is all that it's worth.
Yeah, and if you call right now, we'll throw in the knife set.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the dealer is going to cost you a couple of $100.
Okay.
That's a guess, but I think I'm close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good luck, Jessica.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
I mean, I will bet that the list price at the dealer for this fan is $119.95. That's my guess.
Really?
I'm going to look it up on all data as soon as I get back to my office.
Probably get one on eBay.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to shoot Bugsy out of a cannon for the 4th of July?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was good, bad, or courtroom bound.
Dig up. I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
So who's our lucky player this week?
It's Dave from Capitol Rock National Park in southern Utah. Remember him? He called us last fall.
And he's still there? That's some camper trip, Dave.
No. Dave lives there. He's a biologist for the national park, and he called us because he was having a little trouble with his Toyota Tacoma pickup.
And when I have it loaded with something in the rear, not overloaded, just loaded, it starts rocking back and forth.
Is the cargo you're carrying liquid?
Well, if I'm coming from out of state, there's sometimes a little bit of beer in there, but no, usually not. No,
usually, what is it? How much does it weigh?
It's furniture and, you know, a few hundred pounds.
A few hundred pounds?
Yeah.
Get out!
Yeah, I don't know why a few hundred pounds of weight would do it. A few hundred pounds should be practically insignificant.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of what I don't understand.
I mean, we got mothers-in-law that weigh more than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like three-fifths of a mother-in-law. Now I remember why my mother-in-law didn't get me a Christmas present last year. So what do we tell him anyway?
We decided the problem was his tires. You suggested that in the interest of science, he should rotate the tires or just replace them and see if it made a difference.
Okay, well, let's see how we did. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true, Dave?
That is true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or by that deluxe emergency snake bite / shaving kit that we sent you?
That's true.
All right.
Before he answers, I just want to go,
you want to go on record as saying?
On record that I don't think it was the tires.
So, Dave, was it the tires?
Although I'm loath to admit it, you guys were right.
Oh! No. Not we guys.
No, not we.
Not we guys was right.
I don't even remember the question. I was
I just want to point out that you bailed on me.
I bailed.
In my hour of need. Just when you heard Dave's demeanor.
No.
My heart sank
when I heard the question.
When I heard Dave say, "No, you haven't spoken," I figured, "Oh, we screwed this up." But I stuck by my guns. I didn't jump ship. I didn't desert my brother.
You don't even remember why you said tires.
Well, I think you couldn't think of anything else.
Couldn't think of anything else, exactly. I mean, what
could
be wrong with that?
What did you do? Did you replace the tires?
Yeah, when I took it in to get the oil changed and it was up on the rack, at least one of the tires looked like it did have pretty funky wear on it. So I just went ahead and replaced all four. And that seemed to solve the problem.
Amazing.
Well,
wow.
Car Talk strikes again. David, thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
If anyone out there hears someone that you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, please email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call right now and in all likelihood, stump us. The number is 888.
Why wait?
Why delay? Act now.
Yeah.
The number is 888.
Three wrong answers, no waiting.
Car Talk. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Marion from Port Washington, New York.
So what's cooking, Marion?
So I have this 1992 Corolla, and it's really being a pain when it rains.
Pain in the rain.
Yes.
The pain in Spain.
It often dies, particularly in very, very misty kind of rain, like when it's been out sort of sitting all day, and I've had an experience where I've tried to start it, and it's just been dead.
What do you mean by dead?
Like nothing happens.
Oh, nada, zip, zilch, right? Oh. You turn the key and no sound at all?
Exactly.
Really? No kidding.
Oh, gee, and yeah. We thought we knew the answer.
I know.
What?
Did you have a backup question in the event that we couldn't answer your...
No. But I think I have another aspect to it, which may change how you're thinking about it, because...
Well,
we haven't
jumped into any good ideas.
We're not doing too much thinking.
Yeah, we're wide open.
All right. Well, here's the thing. It used to have a cutoff switch that was hooked up through the rear defrost button.
Okay.
Which meant that I couldn't turn the car on.
Unless you pushed the rear defrost.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So...
That was, by the way...
Yeah?
Millions of cars have these. These are supposed to thwart car thieves.
Right.
So they get in there with their, you know, dent puller, and they rip out your ignition switch.
Right.
They put the screwdriver in there, they turn it, and they say, oh, darn, it won't start. Maybe we ought to just abandon this car. Or maybe let's try turning on the rear defroster. Let's see if that'll start the car.
Let's turn on everything. Yes, they usually do.
All right, so go ahead.
So this past fall, I brought the car in. It died on the highway. And I got it towed to a shop. And they said, you need a new alternator and a new battery. And this was like my third alternator and third battery in about probably 5 years. So they said, hey, wait a minute, you have a cutoff switch. Let's disable that because it's got to be the rear defrost somehow draining the power. So they disabled it. I had my new alternator, my new battery. And then like 3 weeks ago, it was raining. And I, what I do now when it rains is I use all the electric stuff very sparingly. Like I use my wipers. And then when, you know, I don't need them, I turn them off. And then I turn the rear defrost on because sometimes when I have the rear defrost on and the wipers are going and they're both on at the same time for a few minutes, the wipers get really slow and I feel like I'm losing power.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a few weeks ago, it had been raining, and I had the rear defrost on, and I had to go into a store. I parked my car, and without even thinking about it, I just left it, you know, on. I turned the car off, but the rear defrost button was still kind of pushed in the on position.
Right, yeah. But it should go off when you turn the key off.
Well, I think this is going to help you, because I came out after 5 minutes in this store, and I went to turn the car on, and it was dead. It was that horrible sound where I turned the key, nothing happened. And I was starting to panic, like, oh, God, I need to get a new battery again, you know, the whole thing. And then I said, wait a minute, the rear defrost button is still pushed in. So I turned it off, and I turned the key in the ignition, and it started.
Ooh.
Okay, well, that didn't help.
No? Oh, well, I thought you were going to give me an answer.
At least now we know that when you get zilcho when you turn the key,
right,
that it is not because the battery is dead.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have started.
Right.
So we can abandon that whole line of thought.
Okay.
Right. Now, here's the question. What line of thought do we embrace?
Wait a minute.
Do we have a line of thought that we're going to embrace here?
Yeah, we are.
Well, I'm homing in
on
your starter motor.
Oh.
And I think it has nothing to do with whether or not the defroster switch is pushed in.
Really?
Because, no, they disconnected that.
Okay.
So you're suggesting that the fact that she turned off the rear window defogger and the car started immediately, exactly, is a red herring and a pure coincidence.
Exactly. You need a starter motor.
But let me tell you that. I got a starter motor in April.
Oh.
Yeah, well, they only last 6-7 weeks.
Come on.
Well,
he might be right.
Really?
Because if you had left out all the information about the rear window defogger, we would have leapt onto the idea of a bad starter because it's a classic symptom.
Well, does that explain then when I'm driving along and I'm using the wipers and the rear defogger?
No, it doesn't. And that's what's troubling
me. No, it isn't troubling me because when...
because if it were, he would be wrong.
No, I mean, when you have your wipers and your lights on and all that,
right?
If your wipers are working and you turn the headlights on, the wipers will slow down.
Yeah.
When you rev up the engine, i.e. when you accelerate, you'll notice that the wipers speed up. And then when you come down to idle again, the wipers slow down. Every car does that. That's normal.
Yeah.
And that
but
tells
does,
you.
Does every car do that, like, after you've had both the wipers and the rear defog on for
several you're just,
minutes?
See, you're just. I think you're just paranoid now.
All right, I am. I'm totally
I know
paranoid.
You are. I know you are. That's why we're trying to calm you down.
All right, good.
We're trying to talk you down, Marion.
Very good. Thank you. I need to be
well,
calm.
Well, I hate to say it, but I have to agree with my brother.
Really?
That the rear window defogger is a red herring.
I'm shocked.
And you need another starter. Well, while you're there, have him throw in an alternator and a battery, too.
Yeah, why not?
No, but the starter's going to fix it.
All right.
See you, Marion.
Thanks a lot.
Good
bye.
Luck.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye.
Boy, oh, boy.
All right, look, after that, I guess especially, it's time for us to take a short break.
Wait. Bow the door, will you?
Why? What's the matter?
Last week, during the same break, Gladys, the cleaning woman, came into the studio and boxed my ears for some reason, totally unprovoked. She just barged in the door and Wacko!
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was my fault. I told you you were responsible for the half pound of spilled potato salad that gummed up the mixing console. We'll be back with more of your calls and some truly awful puns in just a minute. I'm running hot. Should have got a Chevy instead of a Ford. Yes, I'm running hot. And my fate seems in the hands of the Lord. I can see it now, me stranded by the side with an amp and a guitar trying to flag down a ride. People passing by with a grin on their face, and the club owner is thinking I'm lost without a trace. And now I'm running high, overheating. And even though the FBI starts a least wanted list whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and more groaners from my brother. Oh, these are going
to be. I've got a couple of things to read, thanks to some guy or someone named R. Poffenberger from Myersville, Maryland. I'll just pick a few here and I'll read them.
Okay.
A thief broke into the local police station and stole all the bathroom fixtures. A spokesman was quoted as saying, "We have absolutely nothing to go on."
I love it.
Back in the 1800s, the Tate Watch Company of Massachusetts wanted to produce other products. They chose to produce compasses for the pioneers traveling west. Their watches had been excellent, but the compasses were so unreliable that people often ended up in Mexico or Canada. Thus the expression, "He who hesitates is lost."
Oh, God.
All right, try this one.
"He who hesitates." I like we had no play.
nothing to go on. An anthropologist was cataloging South American folk remedies with the help of the tribal medicine man.
Oh, yeah.
Who pointed out that the fronds of a certain fern were a sure cure for constipation. When the anthropologist expressed doubts, the shaman looked him in the eye and said, "With fronds like this, who needs enemas?" Okay. Evidence has been found that William Tell and family were avid bowlers. However, all league records were destroyed in a fire, and we'll never know for whom the Tells bold.
Oh, God.
Let me just...
The only one that was any good is "We have nothing to go on." The rest of them. Hey, by the way, if you've got a hankering for a Car Talk puzzler.
Yeah, just lie down for a few minutes. It'll probably go away.
But if it doesn't, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, where we post an archival puzzler every week that the puzzler is on vacation.
Which will be how long?
Minutes.
Really?
Well, tens of millions of minutes, actually.
Gotcha. If you'd like to talk about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mary calling from Minneapolis.
Mary?
Yes.
Wow.
I have an ethical question about selling my car.
Okay.
I'm selling a 94 Honda Accord, and I took it to the dealer for like a 40-point, you know, one of those free inspections. And
nothing's free.
They said that I needed to replace the water pump because it was leaking, and at the same time, I might as well put in a timing belt as well. So then I took it to another mechanic who said, "Well, your water pump isn't leaking, it's seeping." And he said, "I wouldn't repair it. I would just sell it as is." So my question to you is, do I sell it like that? Is that going to be a serious problem down the road for the new owner?
Yes.
Or should I repair it?
How many miles are in this car?
137,000.
Are you trading it in or selling it in
privately? I'm selling it to a private party, and that's why I don't want to sell it to them if there's a major problem.
How private?
Well, hopefully it's nobody that I know.
Oh, so you haven't found a buyer yet?
No, not yet. I want to get it in good running shape before I sell it.
First of all, I think it's commendable that you went and did this 40-point check before selling it. That was very nice of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
But they're going to do the same thing, except the buyer or the potential buyer is going to do a 400-point check.
Yeah.
there's always this give and take kind of bargaining thing that goes on. You know, it's
right,
like it's like buying a goat.
You know. How many goats have you bought in your lifetime?
Not many, but I'm ready.
But buy one goat.
but you might want to wait until you have a ready, willing, and able buyer.
Yeah.
And then you could say, look, why don't you just take the car and get it checked out?
Uh-huh.
By whomever you want.
Let's assume, for the purposes of argument, that the potential new buyer finds five other things wrong and doesn't notice the leaking water pump.
What does Mary do?
What does Mary do?
Well, it depends on what those things are.
What if they amount to enough money to potentially queer the deal? And one more will be enough to break the camel's back.
Yeah.
Then what would you do, Mary?
Oh, then you have to lie.
Lie.
No, of course you can't lie.
Mary's not going
to
lie.
You have to lower the price to accommodate the cost of the repairs.
Right, right.
And I think that the honorable thing, I mean, do you want to sell your soul for $500?
No, she doesn't.
About $650.
Maybe $1,000. No,
$1,000. $1,000, we can talk.
Yeah,
souls are cheap these
days. And that's
days.
What I always, boil it down to.
On the other hand,
yeah, here's the devil speaking. I can see his horns from here.
No. Quite the contrary. I'm thinking when people check out a car, the number and importance of the things that they find wrong with it will determine whether or not they want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than have them find out yet another thing, wouldn't it be nice to say, and I just replaced the timing belt and the water pump, and it cost me $500.
Right.
Except they're not going to assume that you did this out of the goodness of your heart. They're going to assume you did it because it broke and you had no choice, and you are doing to the car the bare minimum. If, on the other hand, you present the car as a viable means of transportation, you say, oh, by the way, I think it needs a water pump. There's a small I saw a small leak when it was in at the doctor. And it will need the pump fairly soon. Why don't I just knock $500 off the price?
You know who we need here? Max Bazerman.
Oh.
Max Bazerman would be able to tell us whether people would be more influenced by the fact that you already did it or more influenced by the fact that you divulged.
Well, I'm going to predict what Max is going to say. He's
going
to predict that if you do it, they're going to assume that you had to.
Yeah.
And if you divulge it, it's something you clearly didn't have to do.
Yeah.
And I think you gain more by divulging.
Call Max, will you? Harvard Business School.
All right.
Yeah, you can call him, Mary. He's got a direct line.
Yeah, just call the Harvard Business School and ask for Max Bazerman and ask him. We'll do the same thing because I'm curious to know.
All right.
But be prepared to knock some serious dough off the price.
Well,
when they find the other things that are wrong with it, that these, you know, it may be that this was the only thing the 40-point checkup turned up.
Yes, that is correct.
Well, so you may, if that's all there is, then add $500 to the price and then deduct it.
Oh,
you had
idea.
To sneak that in, didn't you? You couldn't help yourself.
Good luck, Mary. I'm sure you'll do the right thing.
Yes, I will.
All right, see you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
I couldn't help myself.
The sleaze just leaks out, you know?
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jeff in Sacramento.
Jeff with a J?
Jeff with a J, yes.
Sacramento. Which Sacramento is that?
There's only one. It's in California.
Oh, baloney. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
Great, great. What's happening?
Well, I have a 95 Mercury Sable that makes a sound when the temperature gets to 90 degrees plus here in California. That will be just about every day this summer. It's kind of a cross between a can full of marbles and a stretching rubber band, and it kind of makes a low groaning sound that I could produce for you if you like.
Oh, first of all, tell us, under what circumstances does it do this?
Only when it's at 90 degrees or above.
And the engine's running, you're driving.
Yes, I'm driving
along.
You
have to be moving.
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, it's when I'm wiggling the steering wheel or turning, and it appears to be coming from something to do with the steering.
Oh, so. If you're stopped but moving the wheel, it will do it?
Yes. And it's kind of a... of a grinding, whining sound.
Oh. Sounds like a power steering pump to me.
Mm.
But if you're just sitting, if you keep turning the wheel like left, will it just continue to go?
Or is it in a range? In other words, if you turn it 10 degrees to the left, you'll hear the noise.
Yes, there is a range where it kind of abates and a range where it does make the sound, and it's turning right or left. And or even like traveling, if I'm moving slowly and I just wiggle the wheel back and forth, it'll go wrong. And it doesn't appear to be something that's driven like the pump. It seems to be more in the steering column itself, although I'm no expert.
Well, in fact, I think it is in the steering
column. Well, be.
Yeah, I've never replaced one on a Sable, but I believe that at the end of your steering column, in fact, I know at the end of your steering column, there's a coupling.
Uh-huh. Like a little U-joint.
Yeah, in fact, it's a double universal joint, so that if you were to draw a straight line through the middle of your steering wheel and extend that straight line all the way down to the ground, it would intersect the body, the frame of the car, in a place where the rack and pinion isn't.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't want to be there either.
Right, and it doesn't want to be there because it happens to be right exactly in the middle of the engine.
Okay.
So in order to make the steering column hook up, so to speak, with the rack and pinion, they had to put these universal joints in so you could...
So the steering column could turn a corner,
so to speak. Hmm. Okay, and what's happening, I don't know why the hot weather is affecting it, but I think that U-joint is bad.
Oh, okay. What does that cost to... replace?
Less than a power steering pump.
Good.
Yeah.
But a couple hours of labor.
The steering column has to come out.
Oh, okay. So at least 3-4 hours
and
probably.
Yeah, it's a few hours, and if you have an airbag, you've got to make sure you take it to somebody who knows how to disconnect that.
You can get this done, I would say, for $301.
Oh, okay.
Plus tax.
That sounds survivable. Okay.
Good luck, Jeff.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888, what is it? Car Talk. 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Max Bazerman.
Get out.
Hey.
I heard you had a question for me.
Yeah, we do. And I figured you were the only guy who would really be able to answer it.
Wow.
We just had a caller, Mary, who has a 94 Accord with a lot of miles on it, and she's selling it. She brought it to a dealer to find out what kind of shape it was in so she could be honest with a potential buyer. And they discovered that it needs about $500 of work. It needs a water pump and a timing belt. The question is this. Would the potential buyer be more likely to be favorably disposed to this car if she has it fixed first and says, "And by the way, I just spent $500 to replace the water pump and the timing belt." Or would they be more favorably disposed to buy it if she said, "And by the way, I happen to know that it needs a water pump and a timing belt, and I'm going to knock $500 off the price."
And you can get it fixed by your mechanic or not get it fixed, your choice.
Wow. So option A is fix it. Option B is to dock the price by how much it would cost to fix it.
Yes.
And Mary wants to maximize how honest she appears to the buyer.
Or she wants the buyer to buy it.
Right. She wants to maximize
the likelihood that the buyer will buy it.
Right.
So between A and B, I think I'll go with C. So it seems to me that...
I knew this was coming.
I knew this was going to happen.
So it seems to me that if you just fix it, nobody's interested in what happened to your car in the past, unless you actually know about cars. And most of us are clueless about cars.
Yeah.
We just want to know that it wasn't in a very big accident.
I agree with that.
And then, two, when you tell me that these things are broken, but here's $500... I get a little bit concerned that it's by the time I actually get out of the repair shop, it's going to be $800.
Or more, yeah.
Yeah, so if Mary's pretty confident about this $500, I think that I would tell them and then offer to, you know, send the car to get those repairs done and to pay the bill.
Oh, so whatever it is.
Exactly.
Oh.
What do you think?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Option C.
Option C is, well, look, you take the car. If you buy the car.
I just found out that it needs a water pump and a timing belt, and I am going to get it. If you buy it, I will go and get it fixed, and deliver it to you with a new water pump and a new timing belt.
Exactly. Or if you want to take it to, you know, Good News Garage and have it done, I'll pick up the bill.
And they'll say, take it any place but there.
Exactly. Any place but there.
Right.
So what do you think?
Yeah,
what do we think? You're the expert. We don't know
no,
what we think.
Max, I'm with you, man.
All right.
Yeah, no, I think C is right. And we hadn't even gotten that far.
Excellent.
So is it? Can we generalize this at all, Max? Can we say that whenever you're trying to sell a used car, it would be good to have something that is broken, that you didn't fix, and you are going to promise to fix it before you deliver the car?
See, we're really getting car specific. I would say that when you're selling something, it's nice to increase your credibility.
Yes.
I like it.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hey. Thanks, Max.
See ya. Okay.
See
Take
ya.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, I learned something from that.
Well, it's good to have an expert at your fingertips like that.
Yeah, well, now that Jim Davis is retired, we might not have easy access to him.
No. I mean,
so Max is going to have to start to bone up on chemistry.
I mean, I'm a little embarrassed that all the experts that we call on are from Harvard not from our alma mater.
Well, we're going to work on that.
Yeah.
I think. Well, anyway, it's happened again. You've laid waste to another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producer is David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Yellowstone, Raisin Scone, Sugar Cone, Provolone, Cote d'Aron, and Mascarpone, Titan and Tone, is John Bugsy Waller.
Woo-hoo, yes.
And you should see him. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our studio repair technician is Sloan Cranky. Our videographer from the Tel Aviv office is Shlomo Replay. Our employee morale boosters are Phil LaCrap and his brother Luke LaCrap. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Ah, yes, our guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the patriotic panhandlers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember,
yes?
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1027, mosey through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, Road Trips from Hell.
I assume that this was written by everyone who's ever driven with you.
Hardly. These are very funny stories from our listeners. One I read was about a guy who was 17 and set off to cross the country with his best friend in a VW bus.
Uh-huh.
And for the first few days, he couldn't figure out why everybody was honking at him and waving. Then he realized that the night before he left, his little sister had plastered "Just Married" in huge letters across the back.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
That's Road Trip Stories from Hell on the homepage all week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Scott Simon hopes there are antidepressants in the D.C. tap water, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.